Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to look at, examine, or just simply check out one of the premier promises of God to us, which is that if we will walk in the ways of God, God will supernaturally protect us and cover us. Now, that's a huge promise. And that's not a promise that God makes to anybody. God makes that promise exclusively to those among his people who will meet certain conditions. So just because you're a Christian or a good person or whatever, it doesn't guarantee you that you will walk in and receive this supernatural protection. That's the key thing to understand. You know, there's a best-selling book out called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People, which asks the theological question, how could God be fair and allow all these terrible things to happen to good people, and he allows a lot of great things to happen to evil people? It's a very difficult question to answer, and cannot answer that question upon examination if you're only using your finite mind. See, that's the problem that so many people have. They try to understand the infinite mind of God, the infinite ways of God, and then they accuse God based on their having used their finite mind. They accuse God of being unloving, of if he's really a loving God, how could he allow this and that? Men and women throughout the ages have accused God of being and doing all kinds of evil things. But the problem with that is all of these people are evaluating God based on their limited perception, their limited intelligence. The bottom line is every human being alive, we simply have finite minds. And in comparison to God's mind, God's consciousness, God is infinite. God has an infinite mind. That means God is omnipresent. He's all-knowing. Now, no matter how smart or what a genius this person may be or that person may be, none of them come close to having an infinite mind, being all-knowing. So when we're examining God, or we're tempted to accuse God of hypocrisy or whatever, or make, you know, statements about, I would never be a Christian because of blah, 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 blah. And it's usually a person with a finite mind pointing out what they perceive to be an inconsistency on God, who has an infinite mind. So that is not a cop-out. That simply means that we don't have the capacity with our finite minds to understand in depth all the ways of God. We can understand some of them. We can understand a lot of them. But because we have finite minds, we certainly can't understand all of them. And so people who place judgment on God or judgment on reality, it's a very foolish game to play because you have a finite mind. I have a finite mind. And in contrast, God has an infinite mind. Now, God promises his supernatural protection, his covering, to his people. He promises it to his people throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. All of God's people are given an opportunity to walk under the supernatural covering and protection and blessing of God. But not all of God's people seem to be equally, from the finite mind perspective, when we look at mankind with our finite minds, we see a huge disparity and difference in the type of lives people are living, in terms of would you say their lives are blessed or not? Now, you got to be very careful about that, because one of the tough realities that's difficult for us to understand with our finite mind, we're trying to understand an infinite God who is love, and an infinite God who is love allows momentary, whatever length of time, suffering, pain, trial, tribulation, he allows that in the lives of people and in the lives of his own people. And that's very difficult to understand, because it's really easy for somebody like me to get in front of a microphone and talk about that. But when you live in your own personal hell of trial, tribulation, and torment, those words don't sound so friendly. God does allow his people to suffer. If you become a Christian, there are countless blessings that God promises to give you in your life. The Bible is filled with the promises of God towards believers. But when you carefully read about all those promises, you have to also read the fact that believers, or those that have chosen to be God's children, they have to go through all kinds of suffering, trials, tribulation, temptation, adversity, difficulties of all kinds. And in looking at that through a finite mind, that appears to be nothing but hypocrisy on God's part. But looking at it through an infinite mind, or having an eternal perspective, God has a goal for each one of us. And that goal is to mold and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ, into the image of God. Now, we're not talking about looking like God physically, but that we are molded into the image of God. That causes people to get frightened, because instantaneously, your mind plays out images of what you perceive to be totally pure, holy, spiritual, sinless behavior, conduct, thinking, etc. And you know you don't measure up. Nobody does. So the temptation in your finite mind is to experience condemnation, self-blame, and unworthiness. But those are all illusions, because the same way you got saved, which is you put your faith in Christ and he cleansed you by his blood of all of your sins, and then by faith you invited Christ into your life and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and make you born again. And God did that miraculously. All you had to do is put your faith in it. So in the same way, with these kinds of things, you have to trust who God is. You can question, you can analyze, that's fine. But when the day is done, you're going to continually discover that the only way you're going to be able to really process what's happening all around you is that you're going to have to learn to put your faith, trust in God, your faith. Rest in the Lord. Now, that's easier said than done. So, for example, in the book of Psalms, this is one book of many books and verses in the Bible that promises all kinds of supernatural protection to God's children or believers. So I'll start by reading some of this, maybe the whole thing. Psalms 91. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Now right there, this is a massive promise from God to us. It promises you and me and every believer that if he or she if we will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. What's the secret place of the Most High? First of all, it's a secret place. That's why not everybody knows where it is. Lots and lots of people in the Christian community especially talk about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, or they make references to the secret place of the Most High. But it's a secret. Where it is a secret. Just like military has secrets, what they'll have soldiers or whatever hidden in a warfare so the enemy doesn't get to them. So they'll have a military advantage. So this is a spiritual war, and the person that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Well, how do you find the secret place of the Most High if it's a secret? It's simple and complex at the same time. The closer you walk with Jesus Christ, the tighter your relationship is between Jesus and you. The more pure and intimate your relationship is with Jesus Christ, if you truly walk with God in a personal way and talk to God and He talks to you and you listen to what He says and He listens to what you say, and the more you get to know Him. See, a lot of people, I said this on yesterday's program, on the Choir Report, a lot of people know about God from distance. They know about God in kind of like an educational way. They know about God. And they're really committed to their knowing about God, Jesus Christ. But there's a difference between people who know about God and people who are tight with God, who walk intimately with God, who know God, who pour their hearts out to God, and God listens and God responds. The people who have that deep, supernatural, and yet intimate relationship with God are the people that just don't know about God. They know God in a pure and an intimate way. Now, once you have, by faith, because that's how it's done. Once you have, by faith, began to step out and walk on the water, so to speak, and walk with God by faith, and get to know God by talking to Him, by listening to Him, once you develop a tight friendship with God, still recognize He's God Almighty, but you have a tight relationship with God, you walk with Him. Because of the existence of that tight relationship, God then develops a greater level of trust in you. It doesn't that He doesn't know you. He has like X-ray vision. He knows all about you, good, the bad, the ugly. But God knew you before you were even born. So it's not that God doesn't know you. God does know you. But when you have an intimate friendship with God and you walk with God, that process actually spiritually matures you. That process sanctifies you. That process fills you with the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Taking time to walk intimately with God releases the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, Jesus Christ, that releases all that intimacy with God, releases from the relationship, and it brings life. So the person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, now, because of that, they can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that means, you know, like in a hot day in the Middle East or anywhere, a hot, super bright, sunny day, wherever, Mexico, Arizona, the Middle East, wherever. And it's so intensely hot. And the only time you get, unless you have air conditioning or something, the only time you get relief from the heat is to try to be in the shade as much as possible, because by simply being in the shade, that blocks out a great deal of the heat of the sun, which when you're in visible sight of the sun, all that heat and light energy makes the environment that you are in extremely, extremely hot. So when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, it's also you're dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what does that mean? Well, dwelling in the shadow of Almighty God implies and means that you're supernaturally protected from the intense radiation from the sun that could burn you, die of dehydration, and all kinds of things from the power of the sun, or go blind looking into an intense sun. So when you dwell or abide or live in the shadow of the Almighty, that means there is something between you and the harmful sun and radiation of the sun. And what's between you and the harmful radiation of the sun is God Almighty. God Almighty, the King of the universe, is between you and the harmful sun and radiation from the sun. So the very fact that you are abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, you're supernaturally protected from the harmful radiation of the sun. So dwelling intimately and closely with God produces powerful results. It releases supernatural protection, supernatural guidance, supernatural deliverance, and boundaries to protect you from the evil one and the enemy. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Fortress. We don't know that much about fortresses because we don't live in Europe. But you've seen pictures of real fortresses, or it depends what period of history. But going back to the Europe in the 1400s, 1300s, 1600s, in that area, there were fortresses and actual castles throughout Europe and other places. And these were fortified cities made with cement and rock materials that were massively thick, massively tall, and massively wide. And a fortress is like a, just physically, it has so much mass, it functions as a protective boundary. So inside of the fortress, you are safe to live. You're protected by the fortress's boundaries. And if you have a proper number of trained soldiers or whatever, they use the fortress as a weapon of warfare, and they use the power of the fortress, the mass of the fortress, they use that to create a block between you and your enemies, who, if they could break in, they'd want to kill you. So a fortress is a place of military and also supernatural protection. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. So you see, it's the act of trusting the Lord which allows you to dwell and live inside of the fortress. Your refuge, your home, is the fortress, and this fortress is God. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. So, the snare of the fowler is somebody who hunts birds, etc., place traps, and traps that if a bird pecks near the trap or something like that, if a bird touches the trap or whatever, the trap will spring shut and essentially chain the bird. And as a hunter of birds or a fowler, people eat birds in different nations, etc. So this is a warning. God's giving us a warning word about the fact that there's a fowler who is after us and our family and loved ones in our lives. And that fowler, one of the ways the fowler captures and kills his prey is by placing cleverly hidden and secret and camouflage traps where somebody who's not paying attention is going to get shut, trapped in it. And it was done on purpose by the fowler. And the fowler is a type of Lucifer or Satan. He's a hunter of men's souls. Nimrod is supposedly the correct translation of Nimrod's name, or what he referred to was a hunter after men's souls. And God doesn't want our souls captured by the fowler, all right? He doesn't want that. And God doesn't want our nation captured by snares. He doesn't want our children, our community, our state. He doesn't want, because God is love, there's no situation where God would want his people to be snared, to be captured, to be trapped in any area of life, because God is love. Because God is love. And so one of the reasons it's so important to read the Word of God, and it's why I emphasize the Word of God in this program, the Paul McGuire Report. One of the reasons it's so important to read the Word of God or talk based on the platform of the promises of God's Word is because, in reality, apart from the truthfulness that there is a God and He does exist, there is no way for any man or woman, any child, any person, any civilization, any nation, any group of people, there's no place in this reality that is really safe, where you or a loved one are protected, where it's really safe, and you're immune from adversity, trials, tribulations, spiritual battles, etc. Nobody is immune from that. Why? Because the fact of the matter is we live in a fallen world. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's word, they fell. They activated the law of sin and death. So this has permeated every facet of our world, and our world is under the law of sin and death. That's why people get old and die, and other things happen. So it's a hostile world. You know, it's a hostile world. And what we try to do at Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church is communicate God's love, hopefully in an intelligent, rational manner, and communicate the truth of the reality of God's love for them, the reality of Jesus Christ's salvation. It's our goal to communicate that truth all over the United States, all over this state, all over the world, to communicate that truth as effectively and strategically as possible, because we have a goal. And it's not just to entertain people or win intellectual arguments. Our goal is to present the truth to people so that they may come to Christ by faith and receive eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation. And so God, by His grace, unmerited favor, has used this ministry It is use all of you who listen and have chosen to partner with me. It's used this ministry, it's used our partnership to influence people all over the world and nation for Jesus Christ, to bring people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, where we educate people and help people develop a biblical worldview, and to teach the reality of a biblical revival. And so we are in a spiritual battle that's very, very aggressive, just like the snare of the fowler. You know, the fowler is sneaking around in the forest or whatever, and it's his job or business, I guess. He lays traps for birds and other animals, and then he baits them, and then the bird falls into the trap, and it flaps shut, and he sells the birds for food, or puts the birds himself. So it's very obvious when you're living in like a farmland environment. The laws of nature are very obvious because they're right there in your face. But the world that you and I live is just as adversarial, it's just as hostile as other areas. And we have a fowler, a bird hunter. And that bird hunter is a fallen angel named Satan or Lucifer, who uses his own power and the power of demons to entice or trap men so that and trap their souls and prevent them from hearing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm urgently aware of the fact of where we are in the prophetic timeline. It's obvious that the signs of the times are telling us that we're in the last days. And in light of that fact and reality, it is my goal, personally, it's the goal of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries of Paradise Mountain Church, to move as effectively, aggressively, strategically, as we can in precisely presenting the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a biblical world to people. And there's not a moment that goes by. It's on my mind constantly, which is, are we being effective? How can I be more effective? Crying out to God, asking him for his anointing, his wisdom, his guidance, his message. Because you see, just like the bird has to teach the baby birds about fowlers, we need to educate people that there's a real spiritual war raging all around us, where the devil and the fallen angels and Lucifer are using their evil powers in a strategic effort to trap people, or trap God's people, through a snare, a hidden, cleverly hidden trap. And the devil wants to function as a fowler and trap people and trap God's people so that they're either not saved or they're prevented from fulfilling God's plan for their life. And there's a war going on all around us, all across planet Earth, wherever you're listening to the Paul McGuire report in, whether it's in a European Union nation or in Europe or the Middle East, or Russia, or South America, or the United States, wherever you're listening to me, there's a spiritual war that's raging all around you. Because this is the last days, and the devil, the Bible says, the devil knows his time is short, and his days are few. The devil himself knows that his time is running out. So, he has to hurry up and finish his business and his agenda, because he knows time is very quickly running out, and he knows that Jesus Christ the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to return to planet Earth at the second coming. So, he's aware of that dynamic. So, in this competition for the hearts and minds of mankind, men and women, the idea is it's a war of truth versus deception or delusion. And a central part of this war is that so many people are falsely convinced, they have been deluded, brainwashed, hypnotized into believing a falsehood. And the falsehood is that they falsely believe that God is some kind of angry, judgmental, raging, legalistic, almost religious monster-like of a being. There are hundreds of millions of people who have this false concept of God. They believe a complete lie about God, but it was programmed into them to believe a lie about God. The reality of God is this. The truth about God is this. And anyone who's ever walked with God in an intimate relationship knows this. The truth of God's word is that God is love. Yes, he has other characteristics, but God is first and foremost love. And God has the most intense passion and love for you and all men and women and all of mankind since the beginning of time. God has a passionate love for people. And that's why in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the love of God is operating at such a powerful level, if we allow him to, because God doesn't want anybody to see. God wants all men and women to spend eternity with him in heaven. And he doesn't want anybody not to be saved. God is not, again, these are awkward words, but I don't know how else to put it. God is not some kind of religious monster as he's been portrayed. God is love. God is caring. And the most ultimate thing is that God demonstrated his incredible love for you, me, and everybody by actually being willing to die on a cross. He was crucified in an agonizing death on a cross as he stepped up and paid the full penalty for all of our sins. And that's why he paid the penalty for all of our sins, so that we could be saved and have eternal life and live with God in heaven forever and ever. So in this generation that we live in, this message, which is truth, it's not an illusion, it's not a lie, it's not a cult, it's not anything like that, it's the truth. And God is doing everything he can to reach out in love with his offer to forgive each one of us, and to save each one of us, and to give us the free gift of salvation and the free gift of eternal life. That's incredible. None of us, we don't even have a clue to just how much God loves people, how much God loves you. And that's why in my book title, we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. That was a long title, but that expressed exactly what was on my heart when I wrote it. By the way, you can get my books at book bundle discounts by going to paulmcguire.us now. That's paulmcguire.us. Save money if you order books in a book bundle. And the books go into the different topics that I bring up, but the books are deeper, more intense, but they're fun to read, and they're not boring. Because I don't believe in boring people. Because if you bore people, you don't have their attention. If you don't have their attention, you're not going to win the prize. So you can't bore people. And that's something that people have learned no matter what business they're in, what you need to do to get somebody's attention. So this is the purpose of our ministry, and I need you to stand with me in spiritual intercessory prayer for me, family, and this ministry. I need your prayers now more than ever. We're in an intense spiritual battle. Spread our communication far and wide, and let people know about all of the media we're on. This is imperative. Can't tell you how important it is, because without people knowing where they can find us ahead of time, put that mission information out for you at paulmcguire.us. You ought to write it down or put it in your computer or a laptop or cell phone now, because you're going to need it when you turn on whatever media you're listening to and you're trying to figure out how to watch us or listen to us. But to get that information, like now, like before, not afterwards. And we're motivated out of the love, God's love for people, to reach out. That's why we do everything that we do. And we're able to do it because we have partners with you. We have people who believe that God has called them to partner with us in reaching people for Jesus Christ. I want to thank all of you who have chosen to be partners and who are partners. All of your gifts are extremely important. Thank you for your willingness to give. And I ask you that if you haven't considered giving before, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, should I give? How much should I give in terms of a contribution or donations? We have many people that are giving because God put it on their heart. But in order for God to put something on your heart, you have to listen. And the question is now, you ask, Lord, what would you have me do? How much would you have me give to Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church? Or whatever words you want to use. And then you wait on the Lord. And then you make room for the Lord to speak. And then whatever the Lord says, you do. It's just that simple. Whatever the Lord says, you do. And so if God tells you to give this amount or that amount or a huge amount, it could be a small amount. The issue is that are you open to the Lord speaking to you? And if the Lord does speak to you, then what is God telling you to do? What is God putting then simply obey him. That's probably one of the most important principles in the Bible. And by the way, you can follow up on whatever God tells you to do by going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We have our mailing address there. We have our secure electronic credit and different means of payment. Donations are all available for you there at paulmcguire.us, and they're secure. So the point is that this is never about manipulation or trying to cajole you into giving. This is about I share with you what's on my heart. It's about I let you know what our need is, and I try to, as concisely as possible, share with you what our need is. And then I just exhort you as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to go before the Lord and ask him to do it. Just want to give or donate or contribute. And then you wait for God, and whatever God tells you to do, you do. You obey him. It's that simple. And that's a principle, though, that should follow through into every area of your spiritual life. See, here's the basic truth. Truth is that with everything in your life, all of your needs, all of what you need to survive, etc., and God is concerned with every facet of your life. So, as we grow in the Lord, and growing doesn't come accidentally, grow in the Lord because we choose to have a close relationship with Jesus. As we develop our close relationship with Jesus, we're going to automatically grow spiritually, because the more you know God intimately, the faster you're going to grow spiritually. Just that simple. And so many of the great spiritual truths come down to simply your willing, my willing, to have childlike obedience, to come before the Lord, to ask him, and then listen for his answer, and then whatever God tells us to do in any area of life, we do. Now, we're free to do that. This is where people get hung up. This is where people get hung up. You're free to do that, and in a mindset of joy, you're free to do that when you really know in your heart of hearts, when you have an inner revelation that God is not going to rip you off, God is not going to cheat you, and that if you obey the Lord when he speaks to you, and you give whatever amount he tells you to give, when you have matured spiritually, you know you have a revelation. There's no fear in you hearing that. If fear lingers around your inner man or woman when you hear words like what I just spoke, that's because there is bondage in your life, in relationship to money, prosperity, and giving. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, by the way. Never have. But there are kingdom principles where God says, as you sow, so shall you reap. So whatever God tells you to sow, whatever kind of seeds God tells you to sow, there will be spiritual growth. They will multiply. So the seeds you plant, every farmer knows this, and I'm not a farmer, although I had relatives who were farmers. When you're a farmer and you sow seed, and the majority of it, I guess, apart from bad weather or things of that nature, is that what you don't lose by sowing seed. Whatever seed you sow into the earth and water properly and stuff, it will multiply. It will multiply exponentially. So you may have thrown in a handful, healthy handful of seed, and then watered it appropriately, and your harvest will be many, many times, it should be, many, many times greater than what you originally sowed. So you see, when in our spirit, the Holy Spirit, who practice, has released us from the bondage of fear of lack, fear of poverty, fear of not having a job, etc., etc. When you have all those fears cycling inside of you, what you're dealing with is more than a momentary spiritual problem. You're dealing with a generational curse. You know, when there has been habitual disobedience of God's word in your family line, side, that has been disobedience to the word of God in family life, or sinful behavior of any kind was indulged in, or somebody in your family line did something spiritually that functioned as an open door from the spiritual world, which allowed demonic oppression. Notice I didn't say possession. Demonic oppression from the outside is passed on to you and everyone in your family to varying degrees in certain areas. So, for example, you can observe one family, and they seem to always be having financial problems, money problems. It's like they feel like they're under a curse. Well, they are under a curse. Somewhere along the line, or some present behavior has prevented them from walking under God's supernatural financial blessing, God's supernatural provision, where God supernaturally blesses you. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap in multiplication. If you don't start to freak out and get tense when you hear somebody talk about giving and sowing, then chances are you don't have a financial curse in your family. But if you're oppressed and fearful and have insomnia due to always worrying about lack, money, having enough money, and money fears, then there's the possibility that somewhere along the line, in generation of your family line, somebody opened the door through disobedience to God for a curse, a financial curse or a money curse, something of that nature. It's like a spiritual curse, and it may operate to large or significant degrees. At the very least, let's say, say, well, that's just too heavy for me to fall to the body to this first stuff. Sounds too. I can understand. So suspend your final analysis or your evaluation and ask yourself these questions. You yourself have observed in your own family, you've observed it in other people's families and family. You've observed similar and repetitive repetitions of negative behaviors and repetition of negative results that seems to just go around in the echo chambers of different families in different ways. Like one family, it's constantly sickness. Another family, it's constantly money. Another family, it's constantly really intense psychological, emotional problems, or people dabbling in cult. You examine yourself, your own family, and family line, and what comes to your mind as you're praying, seeking the Lord. What comes to your mind? Did somebody in your family line, you may not be aware that somebody did something, that somebody even opened up a door in the spiritual realm, but you can't ignore the fact that in this family or that family or your own family, there seems to be a whole lot of unusual and extra problems, curses, in certain areas. Now, a lot of people take this into an entirely way off the deep end conclusion. That's not my purpose. We need to be careful that we don't. I believe everything I just shared with you is based on biblical truth. But I would be mistaken if I built a doctrine around this. I would be mistaken if I got off on a tangent and this is all I taught. But the truth of the matter is, there are generational curses. And they come about because somebody in the family line, whether they knew it or not, participated in something, opened the door to something spiritually or physically or whatever, which allowed a generational curse of finances or sickness or any number of things to come upon the family. Now, here is important truth. God doesn't just leave you there in the state of consciousness of being a victim, where you say, oh my God, it must be some kind of generational curse over money or curse of poverty on your family. Nothing ever seems to work out or whatever in the area of money, finances, jobs. And so, not taking that any further, you're aware that there's some dynamic that's going on that's above and beyond the mere dynamic of this physical world. That some of the problems that are immersed in your family and relatives, etc., that keep recycling, reappearing, some of these problems are very specific and particular kinds of problems, like money, financial problems. Some families have like addiction problems. Some families, it's even more specific. They have sexual sin or sexual addiction problems. And then it gets passed on from generation to generation. Now, one of my spiritual mentors, Dr. Jack Hayford, addressed this many times. I was with his ministry for like 30 years, the Church on the Way in Venice, California. And I remember him teaching on spiritual genetics and spiritual being. And even though I respected Dr. Hayford, he doesn't a robot, I think through stuff that he taught, and I had some questions about this. And I was hesitant to embrace it. But, you know, after years of continuous Bible study, after years of researching biology, DNA, genetics, etc., after years of researching that in the writing of many different prophecy books, I learned that there had been relatively recent discoveries in genetics, DNA, that there had been relatively recent discoveries. And many times things will occur repetitively in a family line. And you can say that just creates some crazy Christian wacko theory. Well, it's not so crazy Christian wacko and theoretical anymore, because modern genetics, modern biology, modern research into DNA, etc., now shows us that things that you experience or learn or traumas you experience, all different kinds of things that you experience in life can imprint themselves on your DNA. So you're like a recording machine. You don't even realize it, but your DNA is multidimensional. So because your DNA is multidimensional, you may experience PTSD. You may experience this. You may have gone through that. All of those powerful experiences are now embedded deep in your DNA molecules, deep in your brain system, and now encoded into your DNA. So your experiences, things you went through, all that stuff, encodes itself in the DNA. People didn't know that. So what that means is that there is a genetic possibility that your DNA has been pre-programmed to function a particular way. Although you yourself may not necessarily be the one who is individually affected among the different family members, you may not be or experience any of the attributes of being impacted or affected when DNA was programmed. But traveling with you, traveling with other people in your family, they may be receptive to certain programming in DNA, and it may express itself through them. So what this means is, when Dr. Jack Hayford used to use the term spiritual genetics, he was talking about that we passed on in our DNA, in our genetics, not just physical attributes, not just biological attributes, but we pass on in our DNA and genetics spiritual things, spiritual gifts, spiritual limitations, spiritual propensity to do things. It's all encoded in our DNA. And so our life experiences encode themselves, positive or negative, by the way, they encode themselves in our DNA. And when that begins to replicate in family members and children and grandchildren, we shouldn't be oblivious to it, nor should we stir up a quicksand of paranoia, but we should recognize that sometimes it's more than fighting spiritual warfare against certain, you know, forces. Sometimes, in fact, at some point in your life, led by people who are mature and taught and balanced in their teaching, you want to pray over yourself and your entire family line. Or if you're married, you want to pray over both the husband's and wife's family line. And you want to take authority over the generational curse. You want to bind the generational curse over the family line. You don't have to say it out loud if you're in this company. And then you appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ on your family line. So what you're doing is you're binding or blocking or preventing the flow of negative spiritual DNA and negative behavior patterns and thought patterns that are a result of the family line being under some kind of generational curse. You're taking the authority of Jesus Christ, exercising your supernatural authority in Jesus Christ, and binding, in Jesus' name, the activity and work of all principalities and powers and all dark forces in Jesus' name. And then proclaim healing and deliverance to a person's DNA, to the family line, and to their genetics. I believe that's very important to do, extremely important to do. Because what that is doing is that you're acting proactively in defeating the enemy of our souls, his game plans for our life or the lives of our children. And we want to exercise our authority before, you know, he gets to implement his plans. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of the book bundle offers while they last and receive a financial discount on books of my choice or books that I've written of your choice. And if you buy two or more in bundles, you get a financial discount. So visit paulmcguire.us. We will be back in just a second. This is Paul McGuire. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So we've been talking about the supernatural power of God in binding evil forces, etc. And back to Psalms 91. In verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So the perilous pestilence means something that's going to bring great peril or great danger upon you. So what could a perilous pestilence be? Well, one of the primary definitions of the word pestilence means a fatal epidemic disease, especially bubonic plague. So a pestilence is a disease. It's a contagious disease. A pestilence is a pandemic. COVID is a pestilence. It is a disease. And so Psalms 91, God is promising to supernaturally protect us. Now, it doesn't mean we violate medical opinion, doctor's advice. You know, God heals. This is a very simple thing to say, but it needs to be said because a lot of people seem to have a problem with it. God heals people. Sometimes he heals people supernaturally, or spiritually. Sometimes God heals people through doctors and medicine or nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. So there are numerous ways that God heals. And this is a not well thought out myth that floats around Christian culture a lot, which is something to the effect of, I'm just going to believe God and I'll be supernaturally healed and I won't get the coronavirus. Or I'm just believing God for healing. Well, that's fine. But let me raise a question. Because I had a lot of people who said things like that to me, and still do during the coronavirus time. And a number of them were believing God or God's supernatural protection from the coronavirus. Okay, that's fine. But a number of these same people, and these were, you know, mature Christian leaders, a number of these same people came down with very severe attacks of the coronavirus. And their exact words that were communicated to me is that they were terrified of getting sick or having to go to the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. And I can understand that. But a disturbingly large percentage of people who were just believing that God was going to miraculously keep them healed from getting the coronavirus, these same people ended up getting the coronavirus. It is not sinful or wrong to take advantage of the expertise of trained medical doctors. You need to do your own research and homework. You shouldn't believe anything tells you just because they tell it to you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. I would never give medical advice. But there's just too many people who believe that God was supernaturally going to heal them. And I'm not knocking their belief in that, but there was an unusually high number of these people who ended up getting sick and getting the coronavirus very severely. So that is not necessarily a good testament, testimony to go around proclaiming something with a kind of militancy, because God heals through doctors, medicine, et cetera, et cetera. Now, on another program, we'll get into questions that people have regarding that, because that invites a lot of questions. So here in this verse, it says, and verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, or the perilous plague, or the perilous pandemic, or sickness and disease. So specifically in Psalms 91, one of the ways you experience God's supernatural protection and covering is God protects you supernaturally from getting a pestilence, a disease, a sickness, a pandemic. But that should not mean that you just, with the snap of your fingers, decide that you're going to walk under supernatural healing and you don't need to go to a doctor or whatever, start coming down with symptoms, or even before symptoms. That doesn't mean you wouldn't take the utmost sanitary procedures, washing your hands with soap and water or something, cleaning them, wiping them with a towel, not touching any surfaces that could transmit germs. These are like essential no-brainers. Like not shaking people's hands. You can be as spiritual as you want to be, but germs transfer through hands. Then the other thing is that you are still believing God, but you're also using practical human wisdom. Wearing masks. I don't want to get into the medical debate because I'm not a doctor. I've read the different medical opinions of wearing masks. I'm not going to give medical advice, and I'll just say it that. But personally, with few exceptions, one being, I think it could be potentially dangerous to be wearing a mask all day and doing heavy labor and running around, depriving you of the potential of depriving yourself of oxygen. So, if that's the case, you should consider getting different medical doctors' opinions because that could be a thing. However, people tell me this all the time. Well, I don't believe that masks, stops the prevention. Well, that's fine. Except as far back as I've been a kid, I was told, that it doesn't mean doctors are always right, but I was told about how important to have clean hands, wash your hands with soap and water, about the transmission of germs. Over and over as a kid, you thought about good hygiene, washing your hands with soap and water, so you don't catch people's flu or bronchitis or pneumonia or whatever else. I don't want to get into a very personal story at this particular moment, but long before the coronavirus, I didn't wear a mask for the coronavirus. I do wear one now when I'm out at shopping or something. I do wear a mask. And people can be upset all they want. I'm using the God-given wisdom and intelligence that he's given. I wouldn't stay out so long that I would threaten the thing with oxygen, privation of oxygen. But way back when I was a kid, I remember hanging out with other kids and they have a cold or the flu or whatever, people catch it. You could just basically see people transmitting and receiving disease when you were a kid. It's all over the place. So I had to visit a very close relative who I knew was about ready to go on to be with the Lord. But I had to visit this relative in a hospital. And I knew going into the hospital that was dangerous for me because there's so many flus and lung infections, bronchitis, pneumonia, all over the place in hospitals. Because whenever I've had to visit someone, and this person that I had to visit, it could have been the last time that I saw them. And so I had made the premeditated choice to risk infecting myself, because I leaned over to talk to him so he could hear me in a noisy room. But by leaning over to speak into his ear, and then, of course, he was speaking softly, I was breathing in. You know, he had pneumonia. They were giving him antibiotics, but I was breathing in the same air that he was breathing out. I knew that. I wanted to have a conversation with him. And, you know, that was very important. And if I caught pneumonia or something like that, bronchitis, then, you know, I prayed. But I made the determination that I was going to have that conversation and talk. That's what I flew across the country to do, to say goodbye. And when I left the hospital, by evening, my body was shaking. I had the flu. Then it went to flu, close to it. And I knew exactly where I got it. I got it from breathing in germs in a hospital where people with pneumonia were all over the place. So, I mean, when people tell me don't wear a mask, that's fine for you. If you decided to do that, that's fine. I'm not going to do that. Because I've seen way too much evidence of people getting sick. Now, as for, and I don't really get into a whole thing, so we'll leave that for another program, because that's really a pretty different subject. But here's the point. We pray. We ask for God to supernaturally cover us, but then we use our God-given intelligence. We think we need a doctor. We consult with a doctor we trust, or medicine that we trust, and you use the practical, sober-minded mind of Christ that God gave you, that we're supposed to use to navigate us in situations like this. So when you're claiming the supernatural protection of Psalm 91, I shouldn't be approaching it like, oh, gee, we're going to lay passively back, do nothing, and then God's just going to send his angels down and supernaturally protect us, supernaturally provide for us. We don't have to do anything but kick back, and God will supernaturally fight our enemies, provide for us, and everything else. No, that is misinterpreting the entire message of Psalms 91. You are just as responsible, if not more responsible, to be praying by exercising spiritual disciplines. You need to be involved in that in a vital way. And then you're involved in physically taking steps for protection and wisdom, etc. So it's always a twofold process. You use your mind, you use your practicality, you use your logic and reason. But then, on the other hand, you call on God. You ask for God to answer your prayers. You could do both. It's not one is done with the exclusion of the other. That's the important point. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence, again, and disease, that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague or disease come near you, or your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. So he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So it continues on, where God is continually promising to supernaturally protect and defend people. So again, it's a twofold process. You use the physical world, and you use the spiritual world. You do both. You use your God-given mind. The Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we should be operating our minds not in fear, but in power and in love and a sound mind. So that means there's a certain amount of the function of our will. We line up our will in agreement with God's promises. We believe God that he will supernaturally protect us and reinforce us. And then we stand on the word of God. We take authority over the spiritual powers of darkness. We actually use our spiritual weapons and we bind them. Jesus Christ, and then we claim God's supernatural protection. But there's never a division. God didn't divide the world into different segments. That's fine for like a pizza place where you take the pizza and slice it into different slices. You don't take reality and don't slice reality into different slices of pizza. All of reality is under the lordship of Christ. All of reality is spiritual. There isn't this idea of a spiritual world, and then over here there's the natural or real world. That thinking process is deception. There's a spiritual world, but simultaneously there's the physical world, and they work together. They're connected, and they're connected in our inner beings, and they're connected in the external world. So, when we read that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we know that we can, if we choose to position ourselves to live under the covering of God, that we will abide or live under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. So we're supernaturally trusting God. We're listening for and we're praying. We're listening to see if God is speaking to us, because God wants to guide us about any situation. They say, walk over this area, talk to this doctor, meet with that person. God, when you're asking him, God is going to continually downloading your heart and mind answers to your prayers. He's going to give you the wisdom you're looking for, and you should be expecting it. And this is the secret of victory. And this is why Psalms 91 is introduced with the words that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That means the reason dwelling in the secret place of the Most High is so challenging and difficult is because it's the secret place. And because it's the secret place, that means very, very few people know where it is or how to get there. As such, it's safe and secure. It's a safe and secure place. And we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, a safe and secure place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. So Jesus is the rock of our salvation. We rest our entire lives, our spiritual lives, our physical lives. We turn all of that over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we claim God's supernatural power and His supernatural resources, while at the same time, simultaneously, using our God-given brains, our God-given knowledge, wisdom, common sense, and things like that. When you do that, when you integrate the real world with the spiritual world, it's only then that you can walk in victory. This is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us.